now.
Now, Tausch, again, remind everyone that you were not a trash talker. You were a complimenter, correct? That was your approach? Tell people that don't listen every day what your approach was to getting on the good side of your opponents.
Okay, so there were obviously John Randall and Sapp and this different defensive linemen that I think they fed off of that energy of, you know, wanting to talk trash and getting into it with a lot of folks. I looked at it from the complete opposite perspective. The guys I would line up against, Julius Peppers, you could go through a list of different guys that I'd have to play against, and almost everyone was a better athlete, was faster. I don't know if I'd say their core was stronger, but I think their bench and everything else. So I always looked at it from the perspective of, why on earth would I want to motivate and get anyone to play harder against me than I'd have to? Like, I want them feeling as comfortable and as friendly as they could. So I would, a lot of times during a break, especially guys like Bears and Vikings that I play a bunch in the middle of the season, I'd just let them know that I thought they're having Pro Bowl seasons, they're really good players, and try to get them to feel as good. Some guys didn't buy it. Some guys did. And if it only took, if I only got one guy to buy it, I was happy. But I was never going to go and spit fire. And now I would try and cut their legs down.
Sure.
On backside runs. No. I'd do everything in, during the snap. But outside of that, I'm not in the media. I'm not going to try and fire them up. I don't have any interest in getting people's urine hot. Keep that urine cold. Cold urination. In that regard. So that was my idea on trash talking.
Like the temperature of the pee that's on my $100 bill that I've removed from the urinal.
Don't you always find it weird? I just, the other day, I don't know where we were, when they dump those buckets of ice in the urinals.
Yeah, that is weird.
You're not a big bar guy. It actually is a better, like if I had a pick, ice or no ice, when it comes to urinals, give me ice. You feel like you're accomplishing something when you're peeing and you're melting the ice.
Oh,
I don't know if that's a crazy thing, but that's how I feel.
You feel like you're accomplishing something.
Feel like you're finding $100.
Yes.
So speaking of heating up people's urine, apparently DJ Moore did so with Xavier McKinney on May 7th on Up and Adams with Kay Adams. Now, I'm not sure, Jesse, that Xavier McKinney is remembering this accurately. And you know I am a stickler for accuracy.
Oh,
but hey, whatever gets you motivated. So let's start on May 7th when DJ Moore appears on Kay Adams' show. What does he say to Kay Adams?
You know, the NFC North, but I noticed they really beefed up their secondary. Have you noticed that?
Who?
The Lions, they took two corners back to back. Xavier McKinney's in Green Bay now.
That's nice.
Yeah? How do you feel?
I don't feel no way about it. They're just there.
All right, now. That's not how Xavier McKinney remembers it. So yesterday, Xavier McKinney was talking at the same time as Jordan Love. So Domofsky and I and our little consortium of one-man bands that band together to cover the locker room. Domofsky and I are at Love. Our buddy Bill Huber from Sports Illustrated is at McKinney. And McKinney is talking about rivalries and unprompted brings up what DJ Moore told Kay Adams.
There's a clip somewhere out there where DJ Moore said something about, like, they're asking him about, you know, the Packers getting me, and he's kind of like, who? And so, like, you know, all that stuff kind of, you know, that's in my memory bank, and, you know, I go, you know, I work accordingly to that.
You think he knows who 29 is now?
I hope so. But I don't give a damn what he know. Like, this dude walked out on him, like, I've been playing football for 5 years now, and I've been watching football for longer than that. And I don't think I've ever seen a, like, you're supposed to be the guy, and you walking, you know, you just walking off the field, and then you're walking off the field on a rookie quarterback that you've been praising. This, like, so it's like, you know, it's a whole nother story.
His ankle hurt, though, remember that?
Yeah, man.
It's what, him and Antonio Brown, that's about it, right?
Cap. That's what I said, cap.
Oh, that's Hubes, right?
That is Bill Huber, yes.
Hubes twisting that needle. He wants to keep getting that quote. He wants that little click. I like
so,
it. I get it.
So in the interest of accuracy.
Oh, his ankle was sore.
Nobody, no one, not DJ Moore, no one said the Packers got Xavier McKinney, and they said, who? That is not what happened. In fairness to DJ Moore. That is not what happened. Nevertheless, my question for you. So Xavier X is riled up, can't wait to get after this guy. But he chooses to bring this up publicly, not keep this in, you know, back of his mind as he gets ready for the game. And now we all know about it. I got the team down at ESPN Chicago asking for the audio. From your perspective, as a former player who used to compliment their opponents, what do you think of what Xavier McKinney did yesterday, putting this back out on the streets and getting this into the conversational realm for us and many, many others by saying what he did about being offended by DJ Moore's disrespect?
So if I am the highest paid player, and by most accounts, one of the best at my position, and my confidence is through the roof to that degree, and I just signed a new extension, I still wouldn't do it because that's just not my DNA.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But defensive backfield and how they approach things, it's just a different world. And anytime you can utilize slights, perceived or real, do it in this world. Michael Jordan made stuff up. I mean, he punished that poor kid from the Wizards. I don't even know what the hell happened. That kid didn't know what happened to him. Tom Brady did it over and over, whether it was a backup safety for the Steelers. Like, that's just, you want dogs.
Yeah.
Xavier's a dog. And, by the way, calling him out for that lack of whatever he was doing.
Yeah.
It's bold. You don't typically see it, but it is a new generation of players. Like, it just is new. There is, and I don't want to say it's a lack of respect, because I think Xavier McKinney felt like it was a lack of respect for DJ Moore to do what he did.
Agreed.
And a lot of times you would just say, well, you know, if I was asked a question like that, I would say, that's in their locker room. It would never happen here. That's how I would have responded to that. Xavier had a different way of doing it, and I don't have a problem with it at all because he's going to go back it up. And it's him, and it's a different story when you'd have you know, a tight end or a running back talking smack to John Randall, and it's like, well, dude, you don't have to block him. Shut your mouth. If you want to get after a safety or a middle linebacker that's going to be covering you,
right,
have at it. That's your deal. Don't you go gassing up Julius Peppers all day and then say, all right, Tausch, good luck. Like, no, that's not how I want to. That's not how I want to be. But Xavier McKinney had all he wants. It's going to be him. He, I think, felt like he disrespected the game. And by the way, I totally agree with him.
He's right.
What he did is 100%. It is a disrespect for the game. So, and if you're going to be a leader, I thought what he did, and I think in DJ Moore's heart, he knows that was a bad move.
You would hope so.
And now we get to see the beautiful part of this is
beautiful.
We get to see on Sunday at noon. We'll see who wins and who loses that battle. And then the talk will commence. I can assure you, if the Bears get smoked and DJ Moore doesn't do much, it's going to be real quiet. I wouldn't be surprised if he does the old bring his clothes into the shower
or
sneaks
shower
out
pill.
The back door.
Yep.
Or a shower pill. And doesn't have to deal with it because now there's this little back and forth. Xavier's been up front, man. I think that comes from a place of very high confidence and not a ton of respect for how DJ Moore has went about his business.
Agreed. All right. we want to be able to get to Mark Silverman on time. So I want to take this opportunity to remind you what we've been talking about all season long. This is a great thing that Steinhoffels is doing. They partnered with Special Spaces Wisconsin and the Packers to create dream bedrooms for children battling cancer all across Wisconsin. This season, every time the Packers make a field goal, which is with increased efficiency now with Brandon McManus kicking them, Steinhoffels donates $1,000 to Special Spaces Wisconsin. So every time he makes a kick, you can think not only did he put 3 points on the board, but he also helped kids battling cancer. Steinhoffels has been Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader since 1934. They are 100% employee-owned, and they are a proud partner of the Green Bay Packers. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So I know you're a NBA expert.
Expert? I'm very well versed in the big picture of the NBA.
Okay, so then let me go to Jesse for the micro instead of the macro.
Okay.
Giannis with, what, 59 last night?
59, yeah.
Big win for your Milwaukee Bucks. But help me understand the NBA Cup. So does this game count in the standings?
NBA, yes. NBA Cup games count for the standings. So everyone is in a group of five. So you play a round robin as you're qualifying. And okay. Then there's like point totals go into the tiebreaker or margin of victory. I forget exactly how it all. There's a tiebreaker on points scored. And then they take the top eight, and then they play a round after that, a knockout game. And then the top four go to Vegas for the semifinals and then the tournament championship.
And those do not count in the standings then?
I forgot.
Okay. Super helpful.
I think they all count.
Because wouldn't that mean there'd be more teams that would have more than 82 games then?
No, because then the teams who don't make it to the knockout round, they get rescheduled. They get like two games added at some. So I think the championship game doesn't count for the standings, but the rest of it does.
I'm just glad to see the Bucks win. What are they now? 3-8?
4-8. Come on, let's not shortchange.
Oh, there we go. 4-8.
That's two in a row.
See the rebound.
Two in a row.
So there you go. But we do have
guy
the NBA
choked last night. Had two free throws to win it with 1 second left. Missed both of them, and you could tell just as he was dribbling, it was like, ooh, short armed the heck out of it, and then butchered the second one. Good stuff.
Not like Tausch playing for a WIAA state championship, that's for sure.
Well, we got beat in that one, too. So,
but not because of your free throw shooting. All right, well, we've got our NBA Cup contest going on. The NBA's in-season tournament in ESPN Wisconsin is putting Bucks tickets on the line all week long. Here's what you got to do. You tune into ESPN Wisconsin, which you're doing literally right now. And you can be entered into our Emirates NBA Cup Bracket Challenge. So right now, we will take caller 5 and caller 9, because Giannis had 59 points. Get it? 59-5-9. Caller 5 and caller 9, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Now, the Thunder and the Suns are already off the board, right, Jesse?
That is correct. We have three teams left.
So you have three teams to choose from. Caller 5 will get to pick one, caller 9 will, and then somebody tomorrow will be stuck with whatever team is left. The teams we have remaining, the Lakers, the Jazz, and the Spurs. Then you follow your team throughout the in-season tournament, and if your team wins, you will win $2 tickets. And if your team doesn't win, you can still secure your seats to have unforgettable moments at Bucks games at bucks.com/tickets. So right now, caller 5 and caller 9, you will qualify, and you'll get your team for our NBA Cup Bracket Challenge, 844-770-3776. Waddle and Sylvie star Mark Silverman. scheduled to appear. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Jesse, you got our two latest contestants for the NBA Cup Bracket Challenge?
We did. Congratulations to our two contestants. The Lakers and the Spurs are off the board. So tomorrow we'll give away the Utah Jazz.
That'll be it for our five.
The Jazz stink now.
We'll take caller one tomorrow. Caller one tomorrow, we'll get the Utah Jazz.
They are Tank City, USA.
Maybe they'll shock the world and win the cup.
Maybe
they
will.
Won't.
And then they'll win Bucks tickets. This guy is the opposite of the Jazz. They stink. His team stinks. There's no denying that. And is dysfunctional. And he hosts the halftime programming on the Bears Radio Network. It is our friend, Mark Silverman of Waddle and Sylvie, who I'll talk to later today. Sylvie, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Not good. No, it sucks. It all sucks again, guys. It all sucks again.
Hey, so, Sylvie, I got a quick question for you. Jason has said he feels bad. He feels bad for Bears fans. He feels bad for his good buddy, you. You don't want him feeling bad for you, do you? Doesn't that just make it worse?
In one regard, it is sort of patronizing, where it's not only do you guys suck so bad, it's not even a rivalry. We'll just give you guys a pat on the head, and we're not even going to trash talk you how bad you are. Just go on your go on your merry way, and here's a hug, and here's a little like parting gift, like you're Derek Jeter or something like that. So yeah, I could see it that way. But I mean, I know where Wildy's coming from. Wildy, we talked about this before the season, and from a story standpoint, we thought that this would be the start of something new, the start of a new rivalry. And quite frankly, in Chicago, we're not even talking about the Packers this week because it's not even on our mind, because most Bears fans think they're going to get their ass kicked. And quite frankly, we want to kick most of their asses out of the coaching and start the coaching search over again.
So just so I can make myself clear here, I am not being patronizing. My issue is that if you are a Bears fan, and I tell this story all the time, I grew up as a Packers fan. My grandparents were among those Packers fans who helped save the franchise by buying tickets for Milwaukee games at State Fair Park in the 1940s. You are born more often than not. Some people choose their fandom, no doubt about it. But more often than not, it is passed down through generation. And so you become a Bears fan because you grew up in Chicago, your family is Bears fans, whatever it is. It's not your fault. I know I sound like Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting. It's not your fault. But it's not your fault that the organization over and over and over again screws stuff up for the last better part of the last three decades. Like, I was watching this thing that Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic did, where he just it's a video thing where he goes through the different eras where you've basically never just married up the coach and the quarterback and have them joined at the hip and let's see what happens. It's always leftover coach gets or a leftover quarterback, and then it flips to the next one, and here we go again, because Matt Eberflus isn't going to be the coach next year. You knew you were getting Caleb Williams. Why didn't you go out and get someone who would help a can't-miss prospect not miss? And instead, the conversation, Sylvie, about your team is, are they already ruining Caleb Williams?
It's funny, because you're getting angry on the radio and you cover the Packers. You have no connection to the Bears. Your family never, but it goes beyond all common sense. It's like me when I talk about the White Sox. I'm a diehard Cubs fan. I have no stake in the White Sox, and I get really mad when I start talking about how bad and dumb the White Sox have been over the years, because it doesn't make any sense. And exactly what you said is, if Jason Wilde can see it, if Sylvie can see it, I'm just a boob on the radio. If Waddle can see it, who played for the team, if Joe Fan can see it, that they ran the same playbook as they've been running for the past decade plus on screwing this thing up. I've called it the Circle of Suck. It's been my nickname for this. That round and round they go. You know, Nagy's going to inherit Trubisky. Then he's going to get fired, and then they're going to try and you know, make Justin Fields work, or they're going to fire Trubisky first, and then they're going to make Fields work with Nagy. Then Nagy gets fired, and then they're going to make Justin Fields work with Eberflus. And then they get rid of Fields, and they're going to make Caleb work with Eberflus, and now Eberflus is going to get fired. That's what you're talking about, and it makes no sense. It makes no sense, and it's why the Bears are exactly here when they're about to play the Packers again.
So, Sylvie, why do they keep doing it?
I don't know. And I feel like, Tausch, we can't, that's like, it's so confounding, because we thought, and I feel like a sucker, because I believed, and Ryan Poles had all these buzzwords. Like, I don't know how much you guys watched Hard Knocks, but, said it's time. Yeah, it's time to break the cycle. He understood that the organization has failed quarterbacks. Look, I don't know if Mitch Trubisky would have gone to Kansas City and would have been any good. I don't know if Justin Fields would have gone to another team and been any good. He's already on the bench for the Steelers. But we do know that the Bears have failed them along the way. And the one thing that he kept saying in buzzwords and in mottos is that we were going to break the cycle, we as in him talking about the Bears. And then his actions were everything against that motto. They did it, like, in a record-setting time, guys, they have fired another offensive coordinator in 9 games. It took them 9 games. And just to go back in history, something I've written about, something I've talked about on the air, Jay Cutler in 2010 was sacked 9 times in the first half against the New York Giants and then suffered a concussion, had to leave the game. Justin Fields in his very first game against the Cleveland Browns was sacked 9 times, and it hurt his development. Caleb Williams against the New England Patriots, who don't rush the passer, who aren't good defensively, they sacked him 9 times in that last game. Mm-hmm. How are they allowing this to happen? Yeah.
9 times.
Nine.
It's organizational. Sylvie, you know the answer. It's your ownership group, and that's what it is. You can keep blaming the people that they put in there, but maybe we should look at the McCaskies and everything else and say, they don't know what the hell they're doing.
It's not a maybe. There are no coincidences in this, Tausch. I mean, it always, another one of my mottos that isn't hollow is, it starts at the top. It always starts at the top. I did a fan and I were going back and forth on Instagram about some of the things that George has done since he's taken over. And, like, you always think someone new is going to be better, and it turns out that they're not. Since George took over in 2011, he's had 5 head coaches. I want to say there's been, like, 18 offensive coordinators. Or 10, maybe there's been 10 offensive coordinators and 18 starting quarterbacks. Think about all the starting quarterbacks for the Packers. There's been 18 starting quarterbacks.
That's a lot.
And you know how many playoff games the Bears have won under George?
Not very many. Not very many.
Zero. Mm-hmm. Zero.
Yeah. It's about
zero. Right. Tausch, it's not a coincidence. It is absolutely, for whatever reason, whether he's not paying enough, or he's to the coaches, or he's scared of another alpha male. You know, I've talked a lot about this week in the last couple of weeks. They had the finalists for their job with Mark Trestman was Mark Trestman or Bruce Arians. They didn't like the personality that Bruce Arians had. Bruce Arians was the reigning coach of the year when he interviewed. How many opportunities do you ever have to hire the reigning coach of the NFL? It's basically zero, because the reigning coach of the year is always going to retain his job. But Bruce Arians took over for Chuck Pagano when he was on leave for cancer. So he was named coach of the year. They were scared away by his alpha personality, and they hired Trestman. Bruce Arians goes on to Arizona, and then he goes on to Tampa, and he wins a Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Yet, like, this is the type of thing, and they love to cite their history here with George Halas. George Halas was an alpha. George Halas hired Mike Ditka, who is an alpha, and they've been scared away by the Mike Ditka experience. Yeah, but Mike Ditka is the only man in Bears history to ever win a Super Bowl. These are, and it makes no sense. None of this makes sense, guys.
Well, as I agree, and I know Cap, who joined us, and by the way, great, it was awesome on ESPN Chicago on Monday with the coach. That stuff was all great. But the question I have is, when you start flipping it forward here and you're looking at it, I know you're not going to get into who's going to be the next coach because you still have these games left, but you broke some interesting news. I think it was you that broke this, right, about the players going up and almost Rudy styling, where they're dumping their jerseys. We want Badgett.
Yes, and the Rudy style is not true, and there's a lot of people who are coming at me because there are, like, Bears players going on the record saying that it never happened, or another reporter is trying to say that it didn't happen. I have it firsthand. Definitely trust my sources implicitly, and it did happen. Whether it was a suggestion or a request, Shefty has basically said the same thing. The way the Bears like to do it is collaboratively, and they have discussed the possibility of sitting Caleb for his own good. And the players, there have been a segment of those players on the leadership council who have suggested or requested the same exact thing. And, like, a lot of people, like, I'll give you a funny story. There were a lot of people, and I look, I'm not a reporter like Wildy,
No, you actually break stories.
Yeah, very funny.
I was going to say, you broke more stories this week than Wildy has in 4 years. No offense, Jason.
But when I get something, when I get something I have it 1,000% locked, I'm going to go with it. I had it with Chase Claypool before that he was falling out of favor. And, of course, Justin Fields and others went to the podium and denied it. And then a few months later, he was traded to Miami because he was a malcontent in the locker room. Like, it will be proven right, and I stood by it. Back in the day when we hosted the Jay Cutler show, then it became the Jay Cutler Brandon Marshall show, I went and I said, guys, there's problems here. There is a disconnect, and the relationship between Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall is going bad. And people would tweet and people would text back when we had texts. They said, Sylvie, you're causing drama. You're creating stuff for clicks, and you don't know what you're talking about. You want to know how I got the story? We hosted the Jay Cutler Brandon Marshall show. Jay Cutler would take his headset off and whisper and waddle in my ear how much he couldn't stand Brandon Marshall. And then the very next week, Brandon Marshall would take off his headset in the commercial break and say, Sylvie, ask me about Josh McCown, because I can't stand Jay Cutler. He's terrible. And I was getting it from the horse's mouth from both guys, and people still had the nerve to say, I didn't know. Nobody really knows how the – or they say they want to know how the sausage is made, but they don't really want to know how the sausage is made.
All right, Sylvie, I think what this comes down to, though, and look, we believed your sourcing. We know that you're well-connected. But the fact that there are players – making this suggestion. The fact that, you know, I saw DJ Moore, which, again, how much you want to believe what DJ Moore says is up to you, but claiming that they didn't really ask for them to change offensive coordinators. I'm sorry, I don't believe you. I believe Sylvie.
Right.
The fact of the matter is this underscores, whether it's a suggestion or a dropping a note in the suggestion box outside of Ryan Poles' office, whatever it is, it underscores the dysfunction. So as you go into this game, and again, I know you don't need my pity, but I did want this to become a rivalry again, and it's not, because they've got a bunch of buffoonery going on and how the organization is run. So let's forget about Sunday, because you've already decided that your team's not going to win, even though I don't think it's a 0% chance they win, but it's pretty low.
Right, neither do I.
So how do you, if the McCaskies come to you and say, hey, boy, Sylvie, you had that story right on the money. We got to break the cycle of, what is it, the circle of suck, and we need you to help us.
Yes.
The season's going to be over. We're going to finish. We're going to have a top five pick again because we've completely butchered this season. Sylvie, we are putting you in charge of breaking the cycle of suck. What are you telling the McCaskies? What are you going to do this offseason to save the franchise?
Look, and you can't look in reverse because you had the perfect opportunity to marry Jim Harbaugh, who played for the franchise, and he could have built the program here with his new quarterback. It would have been perfect. It stared them right in the face. But you can't go back and say you screwed up. So if we're going to go forward here, my biggest suggestions can be is it's hard enough to get a coach right. You can't shrink your pool by not be willing to pay somebody or not be willing to not like someone's personality who's a winner. Like, for instance, they wanted to hire Nick Saban years ago, but they didn't want to pay Nick Saban. Are they going to deem Ben Johnson the best coach, but is he going to want $15 million, and are they going to deem that too much money for a first-time head coach? It doesn't matter. It doesn't go against the salary cap. That's your cheat code. If you deem someone the best guy to turn Caleb into a star and your team into a contender every year, you hire that man, whether he's an alpha, whether it's Mike Vrabel, and he may make people in the building scared, and he's not willing to shake hands with the marketing department, whatever it is, you must hire the best coach. That's my advice.
So, Sylvie, before we let you go, is there any chance that the Bears, in your opinion, can pull off an upset on Sunday?
There's always a chance. I mean,
yep.
There's absolutely always a chance. I still believe Caleb is ability. I still believe that there is talent on the offense. We know that the Bears' defense can force turnovers. We know what Jordan Love's Achilles heel has been this year. I took, for context, I took the Packers in the points. So I'm not predicting it, but you asked me the question, can it happen?
Yep.
And it absolutely can happen. Yeah, I mean, it's the NFL.
Yep. But you're not putting your money on it.
No, I mean, like, I owe you guys pizza. And for the record,
you're going to owe two because we double or nothing at the beginning of the year. If you
know, and like, I didn't want to run and be a baby or be a coward and say, no, I'm not going to go double or nothing on the bet. And just for the note,
right.
I reached out to Tausch as soon as we lost the bet. And I said, tell me when and where we can send the pizza. Uh-huh. And I was ghosted. And I'm a quick pay guy. I never want to be known as a guy who's a well.
We wanted to let it fester. We had to let it fester a little bit.
All right. Well, I got news for you. It's now become you're taking them out to cut. Because that's all Tausch talks about.
Oh, do we love cut, don't we, Sylvie?
Cut's the best.
Chicago, that's something both Packer fans and Bears fans can agree on when you're in
Chicago. We could all agree on cut, for sure.
Go to Chicago cut, yes.
Sylvie, I'll talk to you later today with Waddle on your show. Thanks, buddy.
Are you scheduled or do we have Domofsky today?
No, you made the right choice. You scheduled me. Domofsky must have been
Uber's next. I love you, Wildy. I love you. Talk to you guys.
That is our buddy Sylvie from Waddle and Sylvie. You can listen to them each weekday on ESPN
Coors
1000
Light.
In
brewed
Chicago.
With a three-step cold process. Cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's made to chill. Make sure those mountains are blue when you're celebrating a Packer, another Packer victory versus the Bears. That's when you know it's chilled to perfection. Sub-responsibly Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We'll wrap things up next. This is Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Thanks to Sylvie. We're out of time. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Enjoy Jesse's day off tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.